Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're on chapter 9 in the book of Amos right now. This is the last chapter of the book. And let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the information that you're giving us from your word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. We know, Lord, that you're the living God, because all the things that you've said in your word are absolutely true. We see it in our everyday life. We see it in the fulfilled prophecies. We see and believe the things that you stated would happen in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. It's all happening right before our very eyes now. And we see all the things that you said would be happening throughout your Bible right before our very eyes now. The end time prophecies. Lord, open hearts, the spirits, and the minds of the spirits to receive everything on this tape. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right. Go ahead.
King James Version, chapter 9, verse 1. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, Smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword.
Now this is the Lord saying he's going to slay these people. Well, what? I thought all these false prophets are saying that all he is just a God of love. Tell him, you know, you people that are listening to this tape, you better believe what the Bible says rather than these men that are sent to you from Satan. Believe the Lord. Let every man be called a liar, but let the Lord be called the truth. The reason they say these things to you is because they want you to give them money. They want to say smooth things so that you'll like them. It's, you know, they don't care anything about what the Lord says. They just want you to like them so that you'll send them money. But if you really look at things from Satan's standpoint, he hates you. He just comes to kill, to destroy, to murder, and steal your soul. That's all he wants to do. And so he'll tell you anything. It would be very easy for me, if I had no fear of the Lord, to just tell you, you know, God loves you. I'm so sick of hearing these phonies. He loves those that love him and keep his commandments, but he hates the sinners. He hates people that disobey him. And listen to his words. He says, I'm going to destroy you. I'll slaughter you. I'll butcher you. This is the real God. Listen to him. And, you know, I know it's a very popular thing to do. You just see these congregations that are just filled up. You never see truthful people having huge congregations. We do have, worldwide, we have a large congregation, but you'll never see them in a small community to have a full church. It just doesn't happen because the people, they want to hear the kind of gospel they want, not the way that it really is. But just read that again. I just think it's worth reading again how that God says he's going to do that.
Yes, sir. Verse 1. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, Smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered.
So he wants Amos to smite the pillars of the temple so that the roof comes down on all their heads. And anyone that's left, the Lord is going to kill them too. All right? Okay, go ahead and read the commentary here.
Commentary verse 1. Then I saw a vision of the Lord standing beside the altar. He said, quote, Strike the tops of the temple columns so hard that the foundations will shake. Smash the columns so the roof will crash down on the people below. Then those who survive will be slaughtered in battle. No one will escape! Exclamation mark.
Why? Because the Lord says he's going to make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
You're not going to escape the Lord. Foolish people. You're fools if you think you can. When the Lord pronounces it, it's going to come to pass. And it did. Then what?
King James Version, verse 2. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them.
Well, the Lord will command a serpent to bite somebody? What kind of a God is that? It's the kind of God that you have to like or you're going to hell. You have to like the way he is, because he's not going to change for you, Bunky. Okay? Bunky. All right. Then what?
Commentary verse 2 and 3. Even if they dig down to the place of the dead, I will reach down and pull them up. Even if they climb up into the heavens, I will bring them down.
God, I mean, you're a God of love. What do you mean you bring me down? Yes, I will bring you down, the Lord says.
Commentary verse 3. Even if they hide at the very top of Mount Carmel, I will search them out and capture them.
God will capture them? Yes, he's going to do all the things he says he does. Whenever you see major catastrophes all over the world, he planned it. He caused it, he says, in his word. Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
Says it all the way throughout the Bible. This is the kind of God you're going to have to face one of these days, whether you like it or not. He's got everything set up so that people go up there for judgment. And you're going to look right square into his face. Or if he doesn't want to look at you because you're so ugly full of sin, he's just going to send you to hell and into the lake of fire. Because he said so, and the Lord, you can depend on what he says to be true. Okay, then what?
Verse 3 commentary. Even if they hide at the bottom of the ocean, I will send the great sea serpent after them to bite and destroy them.
God will send the sea serpent to bite and destroy you? Or is all those sinners that don't repent? Yes, he promises it. He brags about it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get to know God, the real God. And the ones that don't like that, they don't love God. And so therefore, where do you expect they're going to go? They think they can plan to go someplace else? You know, human beings can pick what university they want to go to, or what town they want to move into, or, you know, unless you're on parole or something, you have to stay in some certain town, but you can do pretty much what you want because the Lord makes you a free moral agent. Of course, the government tries to, the devil, Satan's government tries to stop you from doing anything good. But the end, when you die, when your spirit goes up before the Lord, you can't get out of going before him. There's no getting out of it. It's not a matter of your choice. At that particular time, you're not a free moral agent. You're going to die, and you're going to go up before him on judgment. Well, when you die, your spirit goes right up for judgment, and then it goes to sleep, then it comes up again for judgment, and then you either go to heaven, or you are going to spend eternity in hell, then the lake of fire, tormented for eternity. So it's best that you just get your head screwed on right now. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And just realize that and start making you yourself, then start disciplining yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Because he's not any, he doesn't have any favorites. No favorite people to where he's going to let you get by with sin or let you into the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to sneak in through the exit door. As some kids, you know, like myself, used to sneak into movies when I was a kid. One of our friends would go in and open the exit door. And then we'd be able to get right in. You know, there's all kinds of little crafty things as humans. You can't get out of standing there before him on judgment day. And you're not going to lie to him. You're going to be too afraid to do that. And he's already got everything recorded. So let's learn about him now, here and now. Amen?
Amen?
And then fashion our lives to where we can be sure that we're going to be in heaven and not be in hell. Don't make sense to do it any other way. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 4. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them.
Oh, my God, God is going to command a sword to slay them even after they've gone into captivity? Yes. So you won't have life more abundantly here, and you're certainly not going to have a nice life in eternity. Then what?
Verse 4, King James Version, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. Commentary, verse 4. Even if they are driven into exile, I will command the sword to kill them there. I am determined to bring disaster upon them and not to help them.
Oh, God determines to make sure that there's disaster on people? Well, this is the Bible, and he says his word is true. Amen?
Amen.
And you see it being fulfilled right before your eyes. So if you want to be destroyed, if you want to be involved in a disaster, an eternal disaster, well, then just keep going the way you are. But if you don't, then repent. Have a change of mind. Change your mind and start doing things his way. Makes sense, because he says, I'll do that. I'm going to send the sword to slaughter you, to butcher you. And then I'm going to send this. This is going to be like disastrous to you, your soul, your spirit. Because you're not going to repent then. If I'm so angry with you, the Lord says, I'm going to send a disaster to you. And you're killed. You're not going to heaven. It's plain. It's real plain. Then what?
King James Version, verse 5. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt.
Yeah, that's who you're dealing with. You want to fight him? Anyone that can touch the land and it melts. Him that keeps the ocean from going past the margin, the line that he, the border that he set forth for it. Or someone that can just yank the spirit right out of your body. Are you going to fight someone like that? You fool, if you think you can. That's why I say, you see all these people doing the exact opposite of what the Lord says, and you just know, unless they repent, they're going to be in hell and in the lake of fire. And then you see one of them get killed instantly. My God, my God. You know where they're at. Then what?
King James Version, verse 5. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt.
That's wholly. Or yeah. Not holy, right?
Right.
Well, we have to explain that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 5. The Lord Almighty, touches the land, and it melts, and all its people mourn. The ground rises like the Nile River at flood time, and then it sinks again. King James Version, verse 6. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name.
He calls for the water of the sea. He just calls to the water, and they rise up into the heavens and make clouds, and then he pours it down like rain wherever he wants it to. How are you going to fight somebody like that? How do you think that you can deceive him into thinking you're good if you're not? Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 6. The upper stories of the Lord's home are in the heaven, while its foundation is on the earth.
Right, and his foundation is on the earth. That's Jesus, and Jesus is the foundation. Amen?
Amen.
And we are his body. So the Lord lives in the kingdom of heaven. He also lives in his foundation down here, his body. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the rest of the body of the Lord has been built. I would say that we're the feet and the toenails of the body. We're the last ones. Amen?
Amen.
We're the ones doing the mop-up job here at the end. The last. We're like a nation of John the Baptist warning people to repent and prepare to meet your God, the one that fashioned you. Prepare to meet him at judgment is what that means. Prepare yourself for judgment day. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 6. He draws up waters from the oceans and pours it down as rain upon the land. The Lord is his name! King James Version, verse 7. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord?
In other words, the Lord says, you think that I like you better than I did the Ethiopians? I delivered them just like I did you out of Egypt. I delivered them before. He delivered other nations out of trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Didn't he deliver Nineveh? So he says, I don't, you know, you Jews, don't think that I like you better than all the people are my creation. Amen?
Amen.
They're all descendants of Adam and Eve. And then after that, Noah and his family. So, you know, though you're my chosen people if you do fear me and do what I tell you and tremble at my word. Who wouldn't tremble at these words? They say, oh, we're not supposed to tremble at this. That God can actually, if you're doing wrong, send you into like a slaughterhouse, like he did his own people. He told the Jews that he was going to do that. He's going to disperse them to all the nations, and they're going to be persecuted by different nations, by all nations, and they were. All the things he said came to pass. Amen?
Amen.
And then he said he rose up this foreign army to do it. In other words, he rose up Hitler to do that? Yeah. Because they made obscene jokes about the Lord. You know, it looks very sad to see him persecuted and everything. And nobody should, but the people that gloat over that, he's going to get them too. Read the book of Obadiah, and you'll see that these people of Edom should have never made fun and mocked, and then went into and got the remnant of them and sold them for money, the people in Judah. And God says, don't be so upset with Edom for doing this. He says, I'm the one that's upset, and I'll take care of them. Now, the tribe of Judah is still going on forever. Amen?
Amen.
But Edom has been destroyed and never has risen again for thousands of years. So God got them, the Edomites, for doing what they did. This we'll be reading about in the book of Obadiah tomorrow, Lord willing. Okay? All right, then what?
King James
Version. Don't mock at people, God's people, when they're being destroyed. Don't laugh at them or be happy that people are being destroyed because of their sins, because that's what the Edomites did, and they are no more. They haven't been around for thousands of years, all right, because they mocked and laughed and joked and jeered when God allowed them, the Israelites, the people of Judah, to be destroyed, to be sent off and dispersed, to be captive by the Babylonians. Okay, keep going.
King James Version, verse 7. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord?
Yeah, you're my kids, all of you, yeah. Right? What he's saying. Amen. Yeah. Then what? You're talking about the black people? They're God's people? Yes, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're all one blood, amen?
Amen.
There's no difference, brother. You hear? Okay? We're no difference. Not when we're in Christ, we're all one. You understand?
Yes.
All right, then what? But, I mean, people that just like a person or dislike them because of their skin color, that's really a sicko. That's a real sick person that loves a person because they're either white or black or red or yellow. Amen?
Amen.
We love people. We pray for all people. But we love them because of what they are. They're Christians. Not because of the way they look or the color of their skin. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Or how well they do, dance or sing or something like that. That's insanity. I know quite a few singers have come out of the entertainment industry. And some of them, if you really got to know them, you wouldn't like. Same with actors. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 7. Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt,
Yeah, I did that. I brought them out, and I brought you out too. Then what?
And the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir.
Yeah, I brought the Syrians out of Kir. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Commentary verse 7. Do you Israelites think you are more important to me than the Ethiopians? Asks the Lord. I brought you out of Egypt, but have I not done as much for other nations as well? I brought the Philistines from Crete, and led the Arameans out of Kir. King James Version, verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth.
God says, I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. I, the one that God says, the false prophets are saying is just only a God of love, said, I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. I will do it. The Lord brags all the time about stuff like that. Amen?
Amen.
My God, the people of this world are so deceived, and it's so hard to get them out of that school of thought, you know, that God is the love, God is love, God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him, and he hates people that don't receive the reason why God gave his only begotten son. He knew his only begotten son would raise from the dead and be in heaven forevermore. All it was he loved everybody so much that he gave him an opportunity to be saved and to do the right thing, to follow the instructions of the Lord, to walk after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But if you don't do that, then you're walking after the law of sin and death. And don't expect any favors from the Lord. That was enough that he gave us an opportunity to go there. Now he says, I'm not making you robots. You're free moral agents to choose which way you're going to go. You're either going to march to heaven and by following the strict rules and by having the Spirit of God in you, or you're going to march to hell. That's the deal. Then what?
King James Version, verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord.
Yes, because he promised I would not utterly destroy him, because there's going to be a remnant. That means a remnant, a few that are going to believe God and keep his commandments. Few there be that shall enter the kingdom of heaven. If the whole world wanted to go to hell, which they don't. There are some of us that really are sincere about not going to hell. There are some of us that are very sincere about going to the kingdom of heaven. There are some of us that believe that God is very sincere when he says exactly how to go to heaven. And we believe him sincerely that there's hundreds of thousands of ways to go to hell. Just ignore everything God says. Okay, then what? Or anything that he says.
Commentary verse 8. I, the Sovereign Lord, am watching this sinful nation of Israel, and I will uproot it and scatter its people across the earth. Yet I have promised that I will never completely destroy the family of Israel, says the Lord.
Well, he promised he'd uproot it, and they've been gone for many hundreds and hundreds of years, and they just recently got brought back to Israel. He also said I would restore it and let them have a little bit of it, because he said he's going to divide the nations. And so they're fighting just to hang on to what they have there. But if they don't start receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that God's only begotten Son, the one that he sent here to show his love and kindness so that they could repent and be saved, if they don't do that. But we see in the Bible that some of them will do it. He said right here, amen?
Amen.
And it says it elsewhere in the Bible. A few of them will repent. All true Israel, that's those people that believe in God's word and keep his commandments, they shall be saved. But all Israel is not Israel, the Bible says. Not everybody that calls himself a Jew is a Jew. They are of the bastard race. That means they don't have a father. They don't have God for their father. They may carry a Bible, but they do not keep God's commandments. And they reject his son, the only one that could save them. The only one that can. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth.
Right. Not one true grain will be lost. But they're going to be sifted. It's like you take a sifter that sifts flour, and it just scatters it everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
But there's the true grain. The true seed will never be destroyed. The ones that really have the fiber of God in them will not be destroyed. There's a few of them. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 9. Quote, "For I have commanded that Israel be persecuted by the other nations."
I have commanded that Israel be persecuted by the other nations. I, God, says that? Okay, Israel, know that he's the one that commanded that you be persecuted by the other nations because of your rejection of the Messiah and because of your rejection of his commandments to live godly, your rejection of the Holy Spirit. I have done it, God said. So he's commanded Hitler to destroy you. Read it again from my commentary.
Verse 9. For I have commanded...
I, stress the I, God. Okay, go ahead.
For I have commanded that Israel be persecuted by the other nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not one true kernel will be lost.
Right, and if somebody, other nation is getting it, God says, I caused it. He says, what nation is there destroyed or butchered that I hadn't planned to have them butchered? That's the real God. Okay, I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go.
King James Version, verse 10. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword.
Oh, God, this is God saying, all my people shall die by the sword. Well, God could rescue them. No, not a bunch of sinners. If you're keeping the commandments, he will rescue you. He promises it. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only guarantee you have. So the best way to, you want to get along with God, keep his commandments. Or you can say to get around God is just keep his commandments. Compliance. It's the only way that you can beat God. What do you mean, beat God? Well, he can't kick you out of heaven. Keep his commandments, and he can't keep you out of heaven. He cannot, because that would be going against his word. And he can't break his word. In other words, if you keep his commandments, you can go up there, and he says, you can't come in. You say, well, yes, I am. You just walk right by him. That's if you've kept his commandments. And he'd commend you for it. He'd say, come on in, my good and faithful. You're right. You did right. But try to get in any other way. It won't happen. Never happen. Never. It's a promise of the Lord who cannot lie. But let's see, the devil is the liar. The Lord is the truth. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 10. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say...
See, only the sinners, though. All the sinners of my people. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't say all my people. He says all the sinners of my people. And how much more all the sinners of the world, the other nations, the Gentiles, those that have not accepted Christ. Then what?
All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us.
Yeah, let's say the ones that say nothing's going to happen to us. You wait and see. Amen.
Amen.
Wait and see. Say what? Go ahead.
Commentary, verse 10. But all the sinners will die by the sword, all those who say, quote, nothing bad will happen to us.
No, nothing bad is going to happen to you. Thou shalt not die, the devil tells you. And the devil says, nothing bad will happen to you. Well, then how come everybody's catching cancer? And how come everybody, so many people have got AIDS and heart trouble and Ebola and hundreds of different other bacterias are just chewing through people's fibers, the very fiber of their body? What's this bone disease that there gets a... Come over here and say it.
Osteoporosis?
Okay, yeah. What happens is because people don't take the right nourishment and don't work out with their body, with weights, their bones get very weak and they start losing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and up to 10 inches of size. They start shrinking up and then their bones get real brittle because they're riddled with holes in it. And that's what that disease does to you. And pretty soon you start ungluing everywhere. And your bones get so small and they start caving in that they actually even crush your heart and your lungs and everything else, and you can't breathe anymore. And then you just die. Well, there's a long story on that, and I'm not going to get any more into medicine on this tape. All right, but you can just ask any doctor that is a bone doctor, and they'll tell you all about it. Okay, go ahead.
A promise of restoration.
See, now the Lord says, you know, if you come unto him, you'll be restored. That's why it's important to be restored, to every day do something to restore yourself from the way you are, to get back to the Lord. That's the only way you can be restored. Go ahead.
King James Version, verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof.
Okay, what does that mean? He'll raise up the tabernacle. He'll start getting saved people so that they will become the tabernacle of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He'll raise up a lot of people out of the people on earth to where he can live in them. And the first one he does that with is Jesus. He brings him into the world to show us that that's how we have to be in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to be a tabernacle, a temple, a mansion, a house of God. We have to let him live in us by the Spirit in order to be able to keep all the commandments. We can't keep the commandments unless he's in us. The whole Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So he says there'll come a day when he's going to raise this tabernacle up. Amen?
Amen.
And we are only restored in Jesus. No man is an island. You cannot be saved by being you just yourself. You have to be in Jesus, and he has to be in you. Okay, then what? The tabernacle. We have to be a tabernacle if we're going to be in his tabernacle. All right, then what else?
King James Version, verse 11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen.
Yes, he's the seed of David, amen?
Amen.
And it was fallen, but the Lord raises it back up again. Okay, to an everlasting kingdom. Then what? And here's this Amos testifying about that right here. Amen?
Yeah.
It's all over the Bible. Everything is like this. It's so clear. But some of you, it's as clear as mud, right? Well, now it's not. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof.
Yeah, and the people are the tabernacles of the Lord. They won't let any devil, come into the Garden of Eden anymore. Not into the... See, every one of us are like miniature gardens of Eden. And the Lord says for us to keep that garden, and that means to keep it free from Satan. So we have to fight in order to have that happen. We have to defend this temple because it's the temple of God. Amen?
Yeah.
You have to turn away from sin, flee from the very appearance of it. Okay?
Amen.
You have to, if somebody tries to entice you into doing something, don't believe it. Do it. Just immediately get away. You have to defend your spirit that's inside and the spirit of the Lord that's in you. Otherwise, the Lord will draw that spirit, his spirit, away from you. You won't even know it because you're so deceived that you went for it in the first place, that you went for something of Satan. If you're that stupid, after the Lord keeps telling you throughout the whole Bible, don't. Don't sin anymore. Don't listen to Satan. If you're that stupid, well, then you won't even know when the Spirit of the Lord leaves you. Because you're like an animal, like a brute beast that eats grass out in the field. You don't have any taste buds. Nothing, you know, is of any difference. There's no difference between good or evil to you. But you're a perfect candidate for hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 11, King James Version. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old.
And it's because he does it through his people. We're all working on the building, aren't we?
Yes.
Because there's a firm foundation. Amen?
Amen.
Working on the building to please our Lord, so have a place for him to live in. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I never get tired working on the building. Just working on the building. Just to please my Lord. Amen?
Amen.
There you go. And then what?
And I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this.
Yeah, so he's going to call the Gentiles in too. Amen?
Amen.
It says it all throughout the Bible. The heathen are going to come into it. And he's going to use some of the heathen to live in, that clean up there, that let the Lord clean them up. Amen?
Amen.
But they have to do it themselves. The Lord, you just don't sit there like a piece of dung and expect the Lord to fill you with his spirit. You have to constantly drink and eat of him every day. All right? It doesn't happen by just sitting with a stupid look on your face. Or even if you have an intelligent look on your face, it's not going to happen. You have to make it happen. And the righteous take it by force and violence. They take the word of God. They, no matter what somebody wants them to do during the day, if there's something that you say, no, I have to read. This is my time to pray, and look, we just have to talk later. This is my time to do the message. I've got to go in, I've got to read, I've got to study, I've got to write. Whatever you want, just put it on hold, because this is the most important thing in my whole life and in everybody's life, is to take care of your soul, your spirit. Amen? So that you can take care of other people's spirits, their souls. Then what?
Commentary verse 11 and 12. Quote, in that day I will restore the fallen kingdom of David. It is now like a house in ruins, but I will rebuild its walls and restore its former glory. And Israel will possess what is left of Edom, and all the nations I have called to be mine. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do these things.
You go to the bank on that. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
King James Version, verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper.
Isn't that something? Then what else?
And the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt.
Well, do you know what that means?
No.
That there'd be so many souls being saved that it's hard to even reap them in. You can't hard to find a place for them. Amen?
Amen.
Read it again.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt.
You just drip with sweet wine. Okay, go ahead. Which is, sweet wine is grape juice, you know, but this is a symbolic meaning here, talking about the Holy Spirit. The sweet Holy Spirit of the Lord. Okay, then go ahead now.
Commentary verse 13. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested.
Yeah, it's like the brothers and sisters will be getting saved so fast that you can't even harvest them all. Where are we going to put all these souls, right?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof.
This happened in 1947-48, this prophecy was fulfilled. Amen?
Amen.
They're there now. Have been for since 1947-48. Then what?
They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them.
Do they do that now?
Yes.
You've been to Israel. Amen.
Yes, amen.
And then what?
Commentary verse 14.
But this is also a symbolic meaning, is that we shall reap. The real Israel will have plenty of fruit to bring into the kingdom of heaven with them. And they'll be loaded with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 14.
Many souls. That's what it's talking about, is there'd be such a harvest out there, you can't get it all in. Some of them will just take off and, you know, they'll sit in. They'll find a place, even if they have to crawl into a, you know, a little hovel someplace to live. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 14. I will bring my exiled people of Israel back from distant lands, and they will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them again. They will plant vineyards and gardens. They will eat their crops and drink their wine. King James Version, verse 15. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Commentary, verse 15. I will firmly plant them there in the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Then they will never be uprooted again.
Okay, praise the Lord. That was chapter 9, the last chapter of the book of Amos. And tomorrow, I believe, we'll be doing the book of Obadiah. A very small book, but it's a very, very good book. Till then, God bless you all. Praise the Lord.